So here we are back for another edition of the Fried Egg Podcast, and glad to have our guest for this week, PGA Tour winner Jim Herman. Jim won the Shell Houston Open earlier this year in thrilling fashion, beating the likes of Henrik Stenson and Dustin Johnson down the stretch to win his first PGA Tour event. So, Jim, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, and look forward to talking some golf and, you know, what's coming up for myself in the next couple months and what's happened. It'll be fun.
Great, great. So I think one of the things that I find the most interesting with all pro golfers is kind of the journey and how the highs and lows of golf in general. While there's, you know, those instant success stories such as Jordan Spieth, for a lot of guys, it takes a while. And as we all, as golfers, have felt, there are highs and lows, and, you know, it really kind of can kick you while you're down. And I think you've got just a very unique story, one where, you know, you gave it a go right out of college, and, you know, you came back for a second run at it. And I'd love to just kind of hear from your perspective about, you know, getting to the tour and, you know, some of the great moments, some of the low moments, and, you know, kind of what you were thinking on your journey.
Yeah, well, you know, unlike the instant success stories, like, you know, like you said, Jordan's been outstanding and just right out of, you know, a year of college. And there's a lot of us that it's a struggle. And I think it's more common to have the struggles than the instant success stories. And, you know, a lot of the struggles then don't even lead to, you know, any time on the tour or, you know, maybe just a few years on the web, and that's it, and you're in and out. And, you know, just perseverance. I got to Cincinnati in 2000, moved to South Florida. Going to chase the mini tours and see if I could get through the PGA Tour qualifying school in the fall. And that was the summer of 2001. I moved to Florida, played Golden Bear Tour, and, you know, just had a very, you know, common summer, just made a lot of cuts playing mini tours, and got through first stage of Q school and was very close at second stage. I think I was well within the number going into the final round at second stage of Q school, and that's the stage that everyone dreads. It's, you have to get through to get the finals, and you would have status either on the Nationwide at the time, or it might have been buy.com, I don't remember the name then, but you'll have PGA Tour status, and if you don't get through, you're, you know, back to playing mini tours or whatever you were doing before with no real certainty of your golf future. So unfortunately for me, I didn't get through that first year, and nor did it my second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh time either. So it was frustrating. You know, so what do you do? I played 4 years of mini tours of just strictly playing golf and nothing else. You know, just working at a club, the PGA Village, just for a place to play and, you know, where I could call home and practice, and, you know, just couldn't get through second stage of Q school. So, got in the golf business. I was an assistant professional at the PGA Village, and then, went to New Jersey and started. I was an assistant there at the Trump National, and this is in 07 now, so 06 and 07 I'm in New Jersey, and finally that second year at Trump, I was able to get through Q school. You know, I was still going to Q school every year, but I was finally able to get through and get some status on the web.com, or the Nationwide Tour, as it was called at the time, and started my touring life, my touring golf life starting in 08, and I've been playing on tour either on the web.com or the PGA Tour ever since. So pretty much the last 9 years, I had 4 years on the Nationwide Tour, and then the past 5 years on the PGA Tour. So it's a pretty long journey. I'm 38, and you know, having completed my fifth year on tour, I don't know, you know, how that stacks up with others, if, you know, after 5 years, if you'd be a lot younger, or I'm sure it'd be much younger than, you know, 38. So,
I think
everyone takes their own road, and that's my road, and, you know, proud of it, and you know, wouldn't have it any other way.
I think that's a good point. It's just, you know, it's everybody's journey. Do you think that, you know, in the time you were away and when you're in the assistant pro business, do you think the time away helped when you made like kind of that second comeback? I think one of the things I find unique is that, you know, you kind of hung them up and then came back out. Do you think the time away really helped you gain perspective?
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, I guess I put the dream of being on tour aside for about, you know, 10, 11 months of the year. And then once Q School, the time to send in Q School money and, you know, think about it, I was, you know, then I got back into it. But yeah, I definitely was committed to being a golf professional and got in the PGM program with the PGA of America. And I was starting down that road and I was going to be very content with that. And I love golf and I was, you know, going to be very content being a club professional. And, but I knew there was always, you know, there was always Q School at the end of the year, and I knew I could, you know, find a way to raise some money and, you know, pay the $4,000 every year for that, and I still had a chance. And, but, yeah, like you said, definitely appreciated it a little bit more once I got out on the web.com playing full-time again, and then if I would have got out right there after the first couple years of trying.
Mm-hmm. So, I'd love to talk a little bit about your win at Houston this year. Obviously, for those that don't know about Jim's career, he's kind of like a cut machine, so he makes a ton of cuts. Hadn't been in, you know, deep contention a lot on the tour. Had a couple really good finishes, but nowhere where he was, you know, in the lead late on Sunday. So I'd love to hear a little bit about, you know, kind of what was, I always think about, you know, when I'm playing in tournament golf, what other guys are thinking about. So I'd love to hear, you know, a little bit about, you know, what was going on in your head as you were trying to close out that tournament and coming down the stretch. You know, you played a great final round and really kind of closed the door on world-class players like Stenson and Dustin Johnson.
Sure. That's a great question. Well, you know, my years on tour were not exactly fantastic, like you're saying, making plenty of cuts, but just not having anything fantastic. No, you know, I had one top five prior to winning. And, you know, it's to say that it's not easy to contend on the tour, but that being said, you know, I was having a pretty decent career. This was, you know, pretty good for, you know, someone at 38 years old and, you know, made it out a little bit later. I was going to be, you know, fully vested on the tour, having played 5 years on the tour. So, you know, things weren't that bad. I was an anonymous player. There's a lot of us out there that are, you know, that fill the field. And, you know, you have your superstars every week. And then, you know, there's usually 156 golfers playing on the tour, so each week. And, you know, you can get lost out there, and no one really knows who you are. And but we all know that we have the talent and the capability of contending, and, you know, you just have to put yourself in position as many times as you can. So having said that, you know, I finished fourth at New Orleans last year. I kind of came up on a, you know, a 36-hole Sunday afternoon, and, you know, didn't have the pressure of the final groups or anything like that. You know, put two great rounds together, and was able to finish fourth, and that really helped jumpstart my summer, just really keep my card last year. That pretty much solidified it. And but I also had a seventh at Honda earlier in the year, played 36 holes with Phil Mickelson. You know, it's put into the pressure of playing with one of the superstars of the game. And I was able to, you know, play really well with him and hold my own. So I knew when I got myself into contention, I was going to be able to handle the pressure. And Houston started out like any other week. I played well on round one. Round two was with some weather delays, and we had to come back on Saturday morning. And this was probably the key for Houston was you know, I was like in 25th position with four holes to go to finish my round on Friday, or my second round on, we finished on Saturday morning, and I birdied two of my final four and moved inside the top 10. And, you know, I was able to regroup and get a little, a couple hours off after, between the two rounds, and, you know, was in third or fourth last pairing, and it was just a really good solid round for that Saturday round. But I was able to get up and down on the final hole on 18 to cap off a really solid round and get myself in the final pairing. So that was really, really something I was hoping I could do. You never know what's going to happen in the final pairing, but I wanted to put myself in position. You know, it's what we're out there to do is to see how we're going to compete at the highest level. And yeah, it was pretty awesome being off, you know, final group on a Sunday on the tour. And lo and behold, you know, things went my way, and I was able to handle the pressure and, you know, be holding the trophy at the end of the tournament.
That's cool. So would you say that, you know, kind of nerves going into a round, was that the, you know, most you felt? Or, you know, I hear from a lot of people the first tee shot in their first U.S. Open is always, you know, really jittery. How did it compare to some other big moments in your career?
I'll agree that playing in U.S. Opens are pretty fantastic. They're great feelings, and very nervous on first tees. My first PGA Tour event was awesome. Playing in the U.S. Open, that was my first PGA Tour event. That was in 2010, and very nervous. But it was more the night before. You know, just getting the Saturday night in the final group. I was tied for the lead. There were a bunch of people right behind us, behind Jamie and I. And I wasn't going to just be able to go out and shoot even par. I was going to have to go win it. So it's not like I had a multiple shot lead and it was mine to lose. I just happened to be in the final pairing, and I was going to have to go shoot a good round. So I wasn't too consumed with that kind of pressure, but you can't help but answer the phone or read the texts or the emails and the tweets and the Facebook, and, everyone's telling you you're going to do it. It's a great confidence boost, but, you're kind of getting ahead of yourself, and you got to just put that aside. And, you know, I was able to do that. I was able to get some good rest. I slept pretty well Saturday night. And, I had a good breakfast. Everything was great. And, my nerves have been pretty good the last few years. I'd say I was more nervous a few years ago if I would have been in that position. My short game was definitely not up to tour quality, and I was just really having some struggles with that. And if I wouldn't have been able to get some help with my short game the last few years, I definitely would not been able to close it out, because there were some shots that, just like the up and down on 18 on Saturday, I wouldn't have been able to hit. And then obviously I chipped in on 16 to pretty much seal or to get the lead and put myself in great position. So those were the things that were holding me back. That's where I've been most nervous, would have been missing a green or, my putter was fantastic that week. So, I wasn't even nervous with the final, the final putts. I know I had a short one, left one pretty short on 17, but I felt really good over the ball and was able to knock it in. And then two putts to win is not an easy thing. When I hit that shot on 18, my approach, I was really hoping it would crest the hill and start trickling down and leave myself just a short two putt, but it is what it is, and I was able to get it done. And just what a feeling. I was overrun with emotion. I'm sure it came out on the TV, but what a feeling. That's something that I've been trying to accomplish ever since I started playing golf. You junior golf and into high school and college, you dream of the tour and someday being just a member making the tour, and then to call myself a PGA Tour winner is just awesome and fantastic.
Yeah, I mean it's really cool. I mean it's the I guess the next pinnacle is probably a major champion, but I mean just getting to where you're at right now it's pretty darn good. So something I'm curious about, just from my, so I self-examine all the time my game and playing just in amateur tournaments around, you know, the state of Illinois. And I look at some of our top flight amateur players, and then I look at my game, and it's, and, you know, something that you hit on that I think, you know, I always look at is like, you know, I think the short game is always the difference between me and some of the top players where, you know, they're able to manufacture scores. Do you feel like that's kind of the, you know, at the PGA Tour, is that the big differentiator as well?
Yes, it is. Jordan Spieth is putting so well, and he puts himself in contention. Seems like every week because he puts so well. Jason Day is like number one in putting right now. So I know he drives it so well and the irons are so well, but when he's putting, he's unbeatable. You know, Dustin Johnson drives it so well, but I think he's number one in short irons in his wedge game. And if that continues, we're all in trouble. So, Phil Mickelson, you know, he'll talk about how few fairways he hits and, you know, just gets it around the green. And, you know, his short game is so good. You know, I don't have that ability to miss, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 fairways and miss these greens. I just don't have the short game to get up and down from all the spots that he's doing. So it's there, you know, you got to play to your strengths. And I know that I'm a better iron player from fairways. So I definitely stick to my strengths. So it's hitting the fairway and then giving myself my best chance for birdie is from the fairway and low stress rounds. So I definitely try to play to my strengths as well as I can. Because I know when I look back at tournaments and I look at my fairways or my greens percentage hit, and if it's down under 60%, I know I'm not going to be anywhere near in contention just due to the fact I don't get it up and down as many times as they do. So that's definitely something I work on. I work on it every week. Work on the short game with a teacher. It's definitely something you have to have. It's I mean, we all drive the ball reasonably well, and everyone hits it 300 yards now, it seems like. And but you got to be able to chip and putt.
Yeah, that's, I think, I mean, where you can gain the most strokes on the field is consistently getting up and down and, you know, making birdies with wedges. You know, a great drive might gain you a tenth of a shot, but, you know, versus not getting up and down from a easy spot will lose you a whole shot on the field.
Yeah, and that was the thing. It was just routine up and downs. You got to get them, you know, 90%. You got to get them up and down. I mean, the hard ones are going to be, you know, 50%. You know, you'll struggle, but it's just the easy ones. You got to be better at the easier shots, and we're getting there. We're making a lot of progress, so it's good.
That's true. So I guess, you know, obviously, with the win, you get the two-year exemption, which is just huge. You've got the PGA Tour winner status, which can, you know, get you into tournaments for a long time. And then, obviously, you've now gotten yourself into some, you know, the Masters, into some of the WGC events. So tell me about, you know, kind of how just regular day life has changed and, you know, what your kind of what the best thing about being a PGA Tour winner has been?
Well, life definitely changed that first week in April. No longer anonymous, you know, at tour events, and you know, everyone knows who you are now, and it's pretty much a great feeling to have a crowd, you know, cheering for you. That you know. You know, they know who you are now, and, you know, you can't really can't really state how much that helps you when you're, you know, playing. You know, it's just a great feeling. So, you know, getting asked for autographs, you know, outside of the golf course, people know who you are at, you know, restaurants and things like that. That's just, that's been a big change for me. And, I've embraced it, and I can't imagine how the superstars in this game or any other sport, how they handle it I mean, it's just unreal, the demands that they have on their time. And I don't have that problem, but it's been pretty exciting just to have those things happen to me, you know, at the golf course and off the golf course. But other than that, I'm still the same guy. Nothing for me has changed. I just, you know, I was, like I said, I was having a pretty boring 5-year career on the PGA Tour. And I was, you know, my one of my best friends is telling me, you know, that, you're doing great. 5 years on tour, you're going to have a pension from the PGA Tour. I mean, what have I ever, I would have loved to have said, you know, you're going to play on the tour for 5 years and that's it, and never win. I would have taken that. So I thought I was having a pretty solid career playing golf the last nine years professionally, 5 on the PGA Tour. Pretty exciting stuff. But then to throw a win on is just amazing. And, you know, 2 more years on the tour guaranteed, and you know, I'm gonna have played all 4 majors in 1 year. You know, I'm in the Open next week, and PGA to follow up a few weeks after that. That just things I would have never even thought were possible, and now here they are. Those are the only things that have really changed on my end, is just the tournaments I've gotten in as a result of the win, and just not having to look very far down the FedEx Cup list to see my name. That's a pretty cool feeling.
Less scrolling is always better.
That's right.
You know, with the Open coming up next week, why don't you talk us through, you know, how you're preparing differently for, you know, the weather conditions, the style of golf, and kind of your experience so far with Lynx golf in your life and career?
Well, spend the summer with my wife and my kids. We spend it in Philadelphia with her mom and dad. It's just easy to travel out of Philly, and we can get to a lot of locations easier from here than we do in South Florida. And it's not as hot on a regular basis as it is in Florida. So we're up here, and I'm going to play a few great golf courses here the next few days. And I've been very fortunate to know some members at great clubs here in Philly. You know, Marion being one of them, it's one of my all-time favorite golf courses. So I'm going to play out there on Friday. And another hidden gem here in Philly, Rolling Green Country Club. I think I'm playing there tomorrow. And that's at William Flynn, just a great golf course. It'll be my first time around there. So I'm not playing anything different with golf courses. But, you know, while I'm playing, I'm probably going to just be aware of how high I'm teeing it. I know we'll definitely try to keep the tee shots lower. I'm probably going to just take my hybrid out and not even have it with me, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to be using a 3-iron or a 2-iron instead of a hybrid. And just with when I'm around greens, I'm probably just going to be aware of just going low. I know we'll be putting the ball on the ground as much as possible. But one other thing is just having been over there, the bunkers get really deep and severe. So, you know, just going to put in some practice here at home, just getting my bunker shots up as quickly as possible. I know that, you know, the sod face bunkers over there are just brutal. So those are just a few things. And but other than that, it's just going to be it's going to be great. My first Open Championship, and Royal Troon looks like it is quite the test. It's your classic out and in course. I think the first 7 are straight out, postage stamp on the 8th, and then it turns around, and then it starts coming back. And I heard that when you come back, you better have been under par on your way out, because you're going to give it back on the way in. So
yeah.
I hear we're going to have some weather, so it's going to be in the 50s, 60s, and kind of rainy, and, you know, it's probably par for the course over there during most of the Opens. I've been over to Scotland once, took a trip with a couple friends of mine, and we were over on the other side of Scotland. We were at St. Andrews and Carnoustie and Muirfield and Aberdeen, and played some really great golf courses over there. But so I have an idea of what Scottish golf is all about. We also took a trip to England and played the Rota courses in Northern England, Royal Lytham and St. Anne's and Hoy Lake and Royal Birkdale. And those were just some fabulous golf courses. But looking forward to it. My wife's going to go with me, and just the two of us, and my caddy will be over there with us as well. But looking forward to the test of the British Open and seeing how I can do, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you just got to channel that drive you hit on 18 at Houston, that low bullet. That thing was awesome.
Yeah, definitely need more of those.
Yeah. So going back to golf courses, I'm really into golf course architecture. I think it's a kind of avenue of further enjoyment of the game that more and more people need to get into. I'd love to hear kind of your favorite tour stops from a golf course perspective. You know, whether you play well at the course or not, you know, and then also kind of your favorite courses that you've gotten the chance to play across the country and world as as a golf pro.
Well, I've been very fortunate. I'm going to start off there too. Before I was on tour, you know, I worked in South Florida, and then I obviously worked in New Jersey, and very fortunate to be able to play a lot of great golf courses in New Jersey. Spent my time there, and just became a fan of the architecture side of golf at that time as well, and played a lot of C.B. McDonald and Seth Rainers in the Northeast, and then you get there's a lot of Donald Rosses up there as well. So a couple courses right there in Jersey that I loved were Somerset Hills and Mountain Ridge, and just those are two of my all-time favorites there in New Jersey. And then here, spent a lot of time in Philly, and very, like I said before, very fortunate to know some members, and they've been very gracious and have me out. And you know, just Hugh Wilson's Marion is just a gem. I love it there. Love playing Marion. It's just a treat. And then you know, we have so many other great ones, Aronimink and Philly Cricket, and just across the way in New Jersey with Pine Valley, and such a hotbed for golf up here, and great golf courses and great golf architecture. And very blessed to be able to get around on those courses here in the summer.
Yeah,
but on tour, there's obviously a couple of my favorites are Pebble Beach. How can you not like Pebble Beach? It's just I played my first Open at Pebble, and you know, just love playing the 18th tee there every year. And then Donald Ross down in Greensboro at Sedgefield is just one of my other favorites. Don't know if I'm going to play there this year or not, but it's always one of my favorite spots. And then got to throw in the Golf Club of Houston. Now is one of my favorite tour stops, my favorite tour courses. So, you know, it's they have it manicured just so we can get ready for Augusta, and they do a great job. Every blade of grass is perfectly maintained, and it's just a great venue. A lot of risk reward holes, and and then non-tour golf courses, I think I have a fondness for Trump National in Bedminster, New Jersey. Haven't worked there a few years, and they're going to be hosting the Women's Open next summer, and then with the Men's PGA in 2022. So it'll fit into being a tour course at some point. But obviously his best work, Trump's best work, is at Trump National Bedminster. And then a great course back home in Cincinnati, Coldstream Country Club. Camargo gets a lot of the love for the finest golf course in Cincinnati, but I think Coldstream might be my favorite. It's definitely my favorite. I have a little bias there. I won the city amateur tournament there. But Dick Wilson, it's just a great, great golf course there. And then one of my favorite ones in Florida is Jupiter Hills. George Fazio design, and just has lots of character and plenty of elevation for being right, a quarter mile from the ocean. And
yeah, that place
in Jupiter Beach.
I drive by it all the time. It's amazing how many hills they have there versus the rest of the terrain in that area. It's so flat, and you know that course has so many hills. I'm excited. I haven't gotten to play a ton of golf in the Northeast, and I'm heading out to Philly in a couple of weeks for a wedding, and I'm flying out a few days early and going to get some courses in out there. So that'll be exciting. But in terms of kind of favorite architects, you've hit on a few. Kind of who stands out as your favorite architects?
Well, I mean, having played a bunch of the C.B. McDonald, Seth Rainers, you see their work most as you travel all over the country. I know they did so many golf courses across the country, and their work is, you just can't get a better design than, like that Redan, the Redan hole that they have. There's so many great Redans. Chicago Golf Club has maybe the hardest Redan par 3 in the country. Camargo has a great Redan.
We just did a big piece on Redans. I'm writing like detailed articles with overviews of all the template holes and then extensive pictures of different clubs and their version of the Redan. I think it's so cool how they have these template holes, and you know, you look at them from course to course and they're different, but they're, you know, kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just observing how they use the land so much differently is the coolest part about it, I think.
Oh, it sure is. And then just for people that don't know, and I didn't know, like when you see the Brits hole, I was playing Camargo in Cincinnati in the U.S. Amateur Qualifier. I'm just always wondering about this, what is this, 8-foot dip in the green, or in front of the green, like what is that about? And then you just learn about it and read up, and it's such a great feature, and it's all over the golf courses, in like you said, in template holes across the country, and there's so many great Brits holes as well. It's so unique, and like you said, they had their template, but they used the land that they were given and blended it in, and I just enjoy playing those golf courses, and especially, like I said, I think Camargo is a great one there in Cincy, and Chicago Golf was one of my all time favorites.
Yeah, that's the as a Chicagoan, the one course that I haven't checked off here, and it's just driving me.
You won't be disappointed.
I know. It's every year I just cross my fingers that this is the year that I'll somehow get invited out there, but it's you just gotta sit and wait. It's a waiting game for a lot of the great golf courses.
Sure is.
But in terms of kind of, I always am curious with different tour pros. What do you do in your downtime when you're at a tournament in Reno or in Las Vegas, not Las Vegas, but these. Tournaments, when you're not playing, what are you doing for the most part?
So you mentioned two favorite, any course that has a casino gives
yeah.
you lots of opportunity for entertainment. So unfortunately, I'm probably like 90% of the PGA Tour golfers, we all like to gamble. So if there's a casino nearby, we're always in there just playing some blackjack, just passing the time. But on the road, it all depends if my family's with me or not. If I'm alone, it just seems like I'm pretty low-key. I watch a lot of movies or, a lot of Netflix in the room and get a lot of takeout and, burrito joints, Chipotle or Moe's, and I'm very, very easy. So I don't do a whole lot. It's pretty sad, actually, when you think about it. But if the family's with me, we try to get out and, get something. We're just planning the day around the kids and my golf schedule. So, we do as much as we can together. And if I can't join them, I love when my wife takes – we have a 6-year-old and 2-year-old – to the zoos and in each city, or in D.C. a couple weeks ago, they went to the Air and Space Museum, and just great things for them to experience. And but we definitely like the zoos in each town. The kids love the animals. And downtime at home when I'm not playing, you know, I just try to do whatever I can to be with the family. Depends if it's a summer or in school. My daughter will be in first grade, so you know, it'll be hard for them to travel as much once that starts back up in late August. To be honest, I play a lot of golf when I'm home, and you know, it's I can turn the switch off and on between tournament golf and casual golf. I love playing. I just love playing golf with friends, and you know, it's just always been a part of my life, and it'll continue to be a part of my life after touring's over, or when I'm at home. Do a lot of fantasy sports, and really enjoy following that stuff. And I'm just a sports fan in general, so might as well do the fantasy on top of it. So
yeah, the Bengals. You gotta be a Bengals fan, right? Who they?
I'm definitely a Bengals fan. So it's been hard at times, but we're gonna break through this year. We're gonna get deep into the playoffs this year. So we've been close the last 5 years, but we're gonna do it. So Reds are struggling right now, so it's all in the Bengals. So
yeah, my Cubbies are beating up the Central teams. So
Cubs are doing well. They're killing the Reds today, I think, already.
Yeah. So I got a couple questions. If you got a little bit more time from our some of our readers,
mm-hmm.
if you don't mind. Thanks again for taking the time. But so from Stuart Smith, he wants to know, is the driver close to being obsolete on the PGA Tour when classic courses are the host?
Well, you definitely see that. You know, let's just take Plainfield last year for the Barclays. You know, a classic Donald Ross, and I was using hybrid quite a bit. So when they pinch the fairways and the bunkers are positioned like they are, yeah, there's not going to be a whole lot of drivers, except for, you know, the guys that hit driver no matter what. I think Dustin is a one guy that is going to hit the driver no matter what. So, you know, he showed you at Oakmont. I don't know how, you know, Oakmont was just impossible if you did not drive it in the fairway. And he drove it long and he drove it straight. So when that's your best, if that's your straightest club, you'll always continue to hit driver.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we don't go to, there's only a handful of tournaments that go to classic courses. So I don't think that's going to be much of an issue on the tour anymore. I mean, we play a lot of TPCs and, you know, just golf clubs like Houston that were made for drivers, and, you know, they're stretching them out 7,500 yards, you know, like a congressional. We just played congressional 7,600 yards. It's that's the norm. I think we get some golf courses like Hilton Head, you know, where you really have to position your ball well. And, you know, even a course like what we just played in Akron, that Firestone, you know, with the, there's a lot of overgrown trees, and you got to be positioned pretty well. And we definitely hit some hybrids and three woods off tees. I think I hit three wood on 18, three of the 4 days. And, you know, you just got to be positioned pretty well. So, yeah, it is unfortunate with the length of the drives these days that some courses are becoming obsolete for PGA Tour or major golfs. And we'll see what happens. I don't know what the answer is going to be, but the ball is going a long way.
Well, it's, you know, and like you said, for you, you got to be in the fairway to hit the greens, and that's your keys to good tournaments. So, you know, for you know, the driver might, you know, not make as much sense at a tighter golf course because you want to hit the fairway.
Sure.
So in terms of So we have another question from Michael Caroselli here. He wants to know, in terms of pre-round routine on the range and putting green, you know, kind of what your pre-round routine is and how many drivers you hit on the range before a round.
Okay, great question. I arrive at the putting green an hour before my starting time, and I take about 10 minutes of just long speed drills, just no specific amount, but just seems like it always ends up being about 10 minutes, and just working on pace, just trying to get some feel and, you know, working on just some longer putts, 20-footers, 30-footers, just back and forth, and just kind of just letting out some, you know, the nerves, and just an easy way to start into your routine. And then just depending if they have a pitching green or a chipping green nearby, I'll move on to that next and hit a few bunker shots as well, another 10 or so minutes, and then move on to the range and good 20 minutes of full shots. Just go right up the bag from the lop wedge. Usually go every other club and, just five or six balls with each club. And, again, once you get to the woods, it's there's no set amount, but usually it'll end up being about 6 to 7 drivers. And it usually takes up about 20 to 30 minutes. And head back to the putting green for a quick little run through of inside 10 feet, inside 5 feet, just seeing the ball, get onto some straight putts, just seeing the ball going in the hole, and just getting your confidence up and getting ready to go. So no specific number of shots, but it just seems to work out the same way each time.
Yeah, that's kind of similar to, a lot you hear. It's a little bit of everything and just really building confidence, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's awesome. Well, we really appreciate the time that you were able to give us, especially, a week before a big major. We'll be pulling for you over there. And then when you get done with the British, what's the schedule look like there on out?
Yeah, it's a pretty packed summer. We had the Open, and then we had the U.S. Open, and then we had the Bridgestone, and now with Greenbrier was canceled, which was this week due to the flooding, and my goodness, that was just terrible. Hopefully everything gets cleaned up down there. And but off to the Open, and then just trying to put together the final thoughts on the schedule. I've got Canada right after the Open, whether I'm playing it or not. I got to make that decision this week, and then right into the PGA Championship.
PGA.
So if I play Canada, I'll play these 3 weeks, and it'll be three great tournaments, three great venues, and then it's going to be a little bit of off time to get back to Florida, get settled, get my daughter ready for first grade, and then the playoffs will be starting up. So there'll be three events, Travelers, John Deere, and the Greensboro, Greater Greensboro, but I'll probably play one of them, Greensboro being more than likely the one that I might play right before the playoffs. And then it's 4 weeks of playoffs. Hopefully I'm looking good to be in the first three events, the Barclays, the Deutsche Bank, and the BMW. In Indiana. I think it's in Indiana this year, Crooked Stick, in Chicago this year. But looking forward to that. It's close to home. I'm sure I'll have a lot of family and friends out from Cincinnati, and look forward to that and trying to get into the Tour Championship. That's been my I've got two goals left on the year. I've accomplished a lot this year, but finishing the top 30 and making the Tour Championship, and then obviously making the Ryder Cup to be the final goal. So we'll see if we can get those two, and
it'll just be
an awesome year.
Yeah, it's already been a good one, and hopefully it could be a great one with you get another win or another couple of top fives in there, and that's definitely a possibility, right?
That's right. It's all good stuff. So it's very blessed to be on the tour, and just winning was just fabulous, and really proud of the hard work that went into it. But thanks for having me on, and it's just great talk, and love talking golf and golf architecture and everything that is that this great game of golf offers. So,
yeah, let us know if you're in town, and we'll go we'll get you out to some of the courses up here, and then yeah. So look forward to watching you this next week at the British, and thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.